Leah Blau.
Here.
Boyd Frederick.
Here.
Greg Retzlaff.
Here.
Michael Skliski.
Here.
Jeff Wambolt.
Here.
Anna DeLisi.
Here.
Morgan Colomaga.
Here.
Okay, floor is open to citizens' comments. Any citizens wishing to speak have 5 minutes to speak. State your name and address. Any citizens' comments? Any citizens' comments? Okay, citizens' comments are closed. Supervisor comments? Anyone have any comments? No? Okay. All right. Floor is closed to supervisor comments. comments. Welcome back, everybody. Supervisor Skliski, I know you weren't here the last meeting, but Morgan and Anna were here.
Yeah.
And I explained to them that, you know, the voting process, they would be voting first, you know, just to, you know, make sure they're not influenced by anything. We welcome the board. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add.
No.
Since they have met everybody at the previous meeting. Okay. Next is approval of the minutes from June 7th, 2017. I have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Only ones that can do this is me, because we were the two.
I am.
Last time.
Okay, I will second it.
Okay.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Retzlaff, Youth and Governance. Do you approve the minutes from the last meeting?
Yes.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, okay. Chair votes aye, motion passes, okay. First on the agenda here, resolution from the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, cabaret license for Wilmot Mountain.
Wilmot Mountain.
Good evening.
Evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm here to present a cabaret license for Wilmot Mountain. I believe they're operating on a probationary cabaret license at this time, and we find no objections to moving them to a regular cabaret.
Any committee comments? Questions?
I'm sorry, what is a cabaret?
A cabaret license, it's like can you explain? It's
the cabaret is so they can have everything from entertainment and stuff like that, so.
But it's not like a liquor license, it's different.
Thank you.
Anytime they have anything more than a DJ, they have to have a cabaret license, so.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion approved made by Supervisor Skliski, seconded by Supervisor Wambolt. Youth and Governance, do you approve?
Yes.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, motion passes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, resolution from Chairwoman Kimberly Brunig and the Judiciary and Law Enforcement Committee, a resolution to approve the appointment of Mark Midori to serve on the Kenosha Joint Services Board. Since Mr. Midori isn't here, I will present it. I believe this is a reappointment. Mark Midori has been a previous county board supervisor, alderman. He's very involved in the community with the Shalom Center, the Kenosha County Dog Parks. He's the one who established those. You know, he's quite well-versed in the goings-on in the county. Since his last appointment, he has attended 30 of the 36 meetings, held his last six absences excused. He will serve without pay, and he will be succeeding himself. I don't know if anyone wants to read this.
I like Mark. I think he'll be fine. I heard you guys discussing the fact that on here it says supervisor.
Yes.
Does that matter? I mean, the one we're going to sign will just be scratched. Is that how that works?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I do think it'll be just fine having it scratched out.
Okay. All right, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Youth and Governance? How do you vote?
Yes.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye.
Motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, sorry about that. A motion was made by Supervisor Wambolt, seconded by Supervisor Retzlaff. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Okay,
aye.
And committee vote
aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, next is the district attorney report on electronic files and financial concerns or needs.
Can
I first say I'm a big fan of meetings that are, that move this quickly. Wish my world of lawyers had that going on.
Well, we're expecting you to go to about 7:30 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a lot.
You should have a staff meeting where 14 lawyers, all of whom are sure they're right, all want to have their say. Thank you guys for inviting me. I think that I'm here because some of you have seen the overflowing file room at our office and are interested in what we're doing about that and also what our future plans are for electronic movement to what's called paperless prosecution, which is an ambitious goal, but one that we need to get to. So, guys, nice to meet you. I'm Mike Gravely. I'm the DA in Kenosha County. So here's where we're at. Couple of different things are happening. One is what we call the historical scanning project. Same thing that's happened at the different facilities we had in the county, registered deeds office, all those folks. The county has already funded that to get all the records that used to be done by hand electronically scanned. Ours are going onto LaserFiche, and I think that's what's happened with most of the county records. We're halfway done with that. We had the LaserFiche folks come and see us a month ago. If you were at our office several months ago, you'll see that the file room now has an office for our office investigator down there in one of the rooms down there, and you can now see enough that we've created cubicle areas where we're going to have a couple of laptops that allow us to no longer have to move the files upstairs to be able to do the historical scanning. So we're halfway through, and we're hoping in one additional year, so a year from now, it's our goal that we're going to be completed with that historical scanning. So all our old files of more than 3 years old will have been filed, will have been scanned. In terms of us going further than that, in other words, clearing this out, reaching the modern age that the insurance world, the medical world, et cetera, has now gotten to, we have a couple things that we were waiting for that have now happened. Some of you know that the courthouse has now gone to e-filing, which means that all court documents can now be filed electronically. Before this, just so you guys know, it had to be a paper copy of everything, and it had to be in triplicate or quadruplet, okay? So now it's finally going to be digital the way the rest of the world works. And so we have just started that. That literally started last month. Because the courthouse is doing that, the entire defense bar was essentially ordered by the courts to be able to start being able to receive electronic documents as their normal way to get documents. Until that happened, because we are statutorily required to give them documents, we could never force them to take documents in any way. So that impediment is now done for us. The other piece we had to wait for was for law enforcement to have the records available electronically, and that just happened earlier this year. So both the police department and the sheriff's department, so by far our major folks who give us police reports so that generate the paper that we keep, are now digital, have gone electronic as well. So they're prepared as soon as we're ready to start transferring electronically. And as those of you who have ever been in the paper world and then made the digital transition, that will be a huge savings to the county. The moment we're able to do that, the moment that the sheriff's department doesn't have to send us any paper anymore, and we don't have to send paper to all of the defense attorneys and all the other consumers of our stuff, there will immediately be the copy machine repair folks who do this county, the paper sellers and all those people are going to immediately, you know, be moaning and be in desperate situation in terms of their budgets, because that'll be a huge savings for us. So really, the front end, the people we receive paper from and the people we send paper to, are both ready for us now. And that has just happened. So we're a year away. In terms of my master plan here, we're a year away from being ready to be the digital sort of middleman there. We're right now getting used to e-filing. That's a huge difference for us, because every one of the legal documents we create, that's what we do all day. We file 70% of all the legal paperwork in this county, of all the lawyers in town here. My law firm of 14 lawyers files 70% of all legal actions. We had to change every document we do, the format of every document, how we file it, who signs it, how it's signed. All of our procedures had to change. So that's a major transition. A caveman like me, not used to computers, not a friend of computers, is way behind the curve on that. And so my entire staff is transitioning on that. So we're not ready to go paperless this year, but starting next year, we'll be back for, in front of the county board, asking you to help us with some of the transition, with the expectation that we're going to save some money. Certainly in the medium, I think, and in the long term, absolutely we'll be saving money. So this time, today, I really don't have any money to ask you for next year in terms of this. I know that's not what I'm supposed to do. I know that county officials are supposed to walk in and say, I need some additional money or staff. I really don't.
Sounds like you're going to give some back.
Well, getting there. But in terms of the scanning we're doing now, we're still in the historical scanning funds that you guys budgeted previously. We're partners with your IT department, of course, in the county. Sean Smith is our liaison. He's been excellent for us. What we're getting now is we have interns. We literally have three interns and one full-time employee over at our office who are working on historical scanning right now. So we have two intern positions and one full-time position. They've just, IT, through this same money that's already been budgeted, just gave us two laptops, which they're putting down in the area so we don't have to move files around, which has always been a time eater for us to have to move files from place to place. Every time a file gets moved in our office, it has to be recorded in multiple places because we have to find these files at a moment's notice. And so you can't just move things the way you do at your house. You know, we have to account for where everything is at all times. Then finally, the other thing that Sean Smith from IT have agreed to put together and we're getting next week is all of our paralegals are going to have desktop scanners right on their desks for all the incoming post-conviction paperwork. So if there's an old file that's already been scanned and now some new documents come in, then an inmate writes us a letter saying, what about this on my sentence? You know, rather than have to send that out to somebody, we'll be able to just scan that right there by hand. Okay, so those were the things we really needed when we went to IT. You know, I knew I was coming, so I called IT and I said, here's the things I might ask for, and they said, yeah, we'll pay for all those already. I said, okay, well then I'll tell them the good news. I'll tell them that it's already being covered and that and I'll make sure they hear good things.
Will this affect at all testimony in court of deputies and police officers as it relates to the reports and evidence, you know, the handheld report?
Right. So what we're doing right now is we're talking to both of the agencies about, you know, whether people have to physically sign reports, whether witnesses have to physically sign statements. We're working through all that because the departments do not have the technology that every store has where you can just sign the receipt. We don't have that. The departments don't have that, so we're not that modern. And so we still have to account for that some way because there are what I'm going to call archaic old evidence rules that are impacted by this. And so we're still working through that, and that's why we're not ready to transition to paperless this year. My staff, frankly, is just not ready for that yet. We're still making our way through this. But next year, I'm going to walk into a place, a committee meeting much like this, and say, we're on board. We already have the laptops provided by the state. So when we go paperless, it won't be the county that will have to pay for any of that. We might have some support staff who will need them, maybe our investigator, but our typical lawyer staff. I guess the other things I'm interested in is every time a courthouse, a courtroom is modified now or modernized, there should be ports that are internet-friendly ports and, you know, high-capacity ports for us to plug in, because when we no longer have files, we're going to need very quick access. Right now, there is Wi-Fi, but Wi-Fi is, of course, you know, skippy as it is everywhere, and it's based on how many people are using it, et cetera. So it may not be powerful enough for us to immediately be able to tell a judge, well, on his prior file, did he go to jail or not? You know, those are the kind of things we fear. When we don't have our stack of files, a judge can ask us those kind of questions.
Does this affect the judges at all?
Well, they've already started with the e-filing. So they now have a folder up there that no longer has a criminal complaint in it and stuff. So they're actually adjusting in a way. You know, my worry before e-filing came to us was these judges are never going to adjust to us not having that material right there, you know, in our physical files. But they've started that transition already. So, you know, they're getting used to looking on their computers up there for file information that's...
So they are ahead of you?
They're not, well, they are ahead of us. Oh, yeah. Okay. And they're ahead of us because they don't have they don't have any of the police reports and all those things.
Right.
So there's a huge amount of data that we're the middleman for and that we have legal obligations to provide people that they don't have an obligation.
Thanks.
Is the, ideally, is every person's, has a file, I mean, is everything kept in a person's name? So if you want to look up Bill Smith, if he paid child support in 2004.
Yeah.
You'll have that, you don't have to go through some old file, you'll have that under, how do you look that up, Bill Smith?
So, yeah, so there's a couple of different sources. So we'll have an internal DA's office, you know, back of files, right? And those will be under his name. So I'll be able to immediately summon up which file he has, much as I used to carry his whole stack.
Right
now, if you see a DA walking around, he carries the whole stack of all the files. So we'll have that stack digitally, right? What a judge has is they have essentially CCAP references, so they have the court access, which would have that information, but then they immediately can go to the courthouse info on their system as well. So all of the court files are being scanned. Now, the court files do not have police reports. They don't have those kind of large section of documents. They're, you know, court files smaller than our documents. But for instance, they're scanning all their transcripts of trials, you know, and all those kind of things. Any transcribed trial is being scanned now over there. So they are doing this project as well right now. And as I said, until they did that, it would have been useless for us to try to go paperless. And until the police departments said, yeah, we're ready to hand these to you digitally, it would have been useless for us. So this is the first year it's even been possible. So now we need 1 year of transition, and then we're going to be ready to go.
When you're like completely paperless, if the internet is like down one day,
yeah,
do you still have access to like all of your files?
It's a great question. So what we will, yeah, because we won't be dependent on, our system will be an internal system. So if the internet is down, certainly we're going to be compromised in our ability to look at old things, but our current set of files will still be in the data. So that'll still be on file for us. Yeah, but that's a great question. And those are exactly the type of things we're worried about, because right now we don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. Imagine, I want you to tell you the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, I'm in the middle of a jury trial, mm-hmm, all right? So I have people who are, you know, I have 12 citizens waiting around. And then something comes up where it's a prior file and the internet's not working.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's going to get really, you know.
Is there a county that's already gone paperless that you...
There is, yeah. So Dodge County, which is, of course, much smaller than us, is the model in the state, and I'm having my current office manager and a couple of my lawyers go to Dodge County this fall. And they're going to spend the entire day there working through there. And then Dane County is an example of a much bigger county, which has gone substantially paperless. So we're going to go to Dodge County first, and then we're going to go to Dane County, meaning I'm going to have a team of people do that. The person who's leading the project from my end will be our office manager, who is also our fiscal manager, as many of you know. She's the person who comes for budget. She's also the person who has liaison for us on all the e-filing. So she's ideally situated because, you know, she's a person who's come up from the ranks. She's done every one of the paper filing jobs. So she'll be the person who transitions for us.
Do you see this whole process freeing up time for your lawyers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not only will it free up time for lawyers, but so for lawyers, you know, one of the things I do every day is I am trying to find files or asking someone else to find files. I'm looking for files that have information that I need in them, right? And so my job, you know, is a lot of times, can I find this? And if someone else is using that file, then I have to wait, you know? And so, you know, in cases where I am doing things with people or people are doing different pieces of it. But then the people who it will really help is our paralegal staff, who spend, I mean, literally, I think they spend an hour a day of actual staff time searching for and accounting for files and then placing filings in things. You know, so, I mean, that's an enormous amount of time for highly trained professionals who otherwise should be putting out witness lists, being in contact with victims, making my cases better. You know, so,
well, go ahead. I'm sorry, and that was my point on this was also, Is the state courts concerned about privacy with these files? I mean,
they are.
I could have walked in and grabbed one.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have, but I could have.
Right. Right.
If I was a mischievous person, I
did.
Could've.
I did watch you really closely. Yeah. But
I'm not saying that ever happened.
Yeah.
The point is, it's never going to happen. But is there concern from the state courts
there is,
about that?
You know, and there always has been. You know, I mean, remember that. You know, I'm an office. We have college interns. You know, we have witnesses coming in and out who are escorted in various ways around there. Obviously, there's a lot of people walking through our office. There's cleaning staff and everything, right. And we have all sorts of pieces of evidence in those cases, digital, discs of squad videos, but also very personal information. So anytime you digitize, you allow people to be able to hack you and things like that, but obviously right now it's in unlocked rooms where there are literally dozens of people who could steal it every day.
That's right. And it's interesting because in the insurance world, which I am, you are in such HIPAA violation, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
We would be...
It's frightening.
If they came into our office looked like that,
right.
The State Insurance Commission would fine all of us. And I'm not saying that applies to you. I'm just saying that...
Well, but and then imagine I'm a lawyer who should know better. So,
That's... And at least my concern was, you made it sound like you're doing well on that. And that was...
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that it didn't look good than when I was down there. And not... Just from the standpoint of just what I'm used to, just seeing that.
Well, I know. Well, and you've been through that transition.
Right.
I mean, you remember the days when everybody carried files around. So, and the law profession is the last of these industries to do this. If you go to the private law firms, they're also way behind the curve, The smaller the firm, the further behind the curve they are. So, we're the last of the major sort of paper industries, paper generating.
But you're no different than any other district attorney.
We're not. No, in fact, we're slightly ahead of the game.
Well, I mean, with the fact that your files are out there and right now that people can,
will you slow boat them to some warehouse somewhere? Or what will happen to those things?
Where will these go?
Yeah.
Once they're scanned, then we very specifically order them destroyed.
Okay.
So the scanning company is destroying them, the people doing our laser fiche, and they're doing that with authorization.
Okay.
See, the problem we have, the Register of Deeds, et cetera, that could be a quick process. For us, these files, because of the privacy concerns and the legal documents involved, we have to meticulously go through these files. So we're not able to just sort of say, hey, go to aisle number 6 and, you guys box whatever there is in there. We actually have to go through these because we have actual privacy obligation to folks. And there's legal, pieces and there's all sorts of statutes that govern what we do with certain things. So, so we have to actually go through these files. And not everyone can do that. You actually have to have somebody who understands this process. So, for instance, our college interns who are criminal justice majors, so they're not people who know nothing about this, are still not people who'd be qualified to sort through the file for us. What they can do is the rest of our process, intaking things. But I need actual staff who handle these kind of materials to be the ones who go through this, and that's what's slowing us up.
But then once the scanning company scans them and then they're ordered destroyed, is there a double check so they don't make a mistake? Because once it's destroyed, the document, you can't get it back.
Right, so
they make a mistake.
Yeah,
was there a double or triple check?
Yeah, so what we do is we review what they have done, making sure we have a copy, send out the authorization to destroy.
Okay.
But again, a labor process.
Sure.
It was an incredibly labored process.
Are there consultants that do this work? You couldn't do a consultant to pick this up.
So I would tell you that because these are specialized cases where a consultant's not going to know what these notes on the file mean and aren't going to know whether that document was important in this case. That really, I think you'd pay way more than the value you get. Because, the people who are going to know this are people who know our filing process. They know what each of our documents looks like and why it's in there. They know what it means in each of these cases. And so, frankly, it's my office manager, who I have brought up a number of times because she wears every hat in the place, Tina, and a couple of our paralegals who've been there forever, who are really the only people I feel are qualified to do this. Because, we're on the hook. If I destroy something that shouldn't have been destroyed, that's, you folks aren't going to help me with that. That's going to be my fault. And the same is true if, you can't have every document in there preserved and microfiched because it doesn't make any sense to do that. We'd be paying a fortune for every subpoena to be, to be a microfiched. So it is a laborious process. We are much more aggressively involved than we were before I took office. This was a mission of mine. I wanted to clear that basement room out. We're busting at the seams over there in terms of space. So I need the space, and I have, and because I need the space, I've created incentives for people. I say, if we clear this space, there will be people down here and occupying that space. So, I I think we're in a position where there's a reason why people want to do this, because they're busting it, they're sharing cubicles and things where, you know, we're going to be able to prevent that eventually.
So for privacy, is there any redacting involved in any of these?
Well, not for Laserfish, because again, those are our private files. Okay. So we don't have to redact for that. Yeah. No.
Really, it comes down to just making sure that every page that's in there, it actually doesn't get skipped or stuck together. That it's
and they're only keeping the right things.
Yeah, I mean, it either scans it, doesn't scan it. That's it.
It's very simple. It's a yes or no, and then it's a slight organization of the stuff so that if somebody's looking through a Laserfish file, they don't have to go from page 1 to 98.
You know, they got something. Does it have a search feature?
Yeah, it does.
Or is it?
And I'll tell you what.
Manually, you know, searching. You know what
So it has a crappy search feature, but it's still way better than. Yeah, right. Right now, you know, for instance, you know, I'll tell you the revelation. The day I knew Laserfish was progress was a day when I was trying a guy who's a Latin king, a big violent street gang in this town, and there was a name in there, and I thought to myself, that name sounds familiar, but I looked him up in our internal file, and we didn't have anything on. And so I took a flyer. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go in the Laserfish. I'm going to plug his name in and see what happens. And sure enough, he pops up in two files that I had about 10 years ago as a witness in the case. Yeah. So first of all, it made me think I'm brilliant because I was 10 years ago. How is that for when that technology reinforces your own brilliance? But the second piece is, I thought to myself, this is gold. Mm-hmm. From now on, when I have to cross-examine a witness, I could put in his name. And of course, now you think about that, you know, there's a little thing called Google where everybody gets to do that on everything in the world, right? But the DA's office has never had that opportunity before. So that is the kind of thing that's real progress.
And you'd mentioned preference with a hard line, but in all reality, that's not as flexible as just having the proper high-speed and wireless routers in each courtroom or wherever the case
may
be.
Right.
That IT has got to make sure.
Right. So what I'm saying is every time that we do anything in that courthouse now, you know, which is a glorious, noble, and dinosaur of a building, right? Every time we do anything over there, we need to be sure we understand that the plugins need to be, for the DA and the defense, the plugins need to have maximum capacity.
Yep. Yep.
So that there's zero delay for that jury trial that we're talking about, where I don't want to look like an idiot when they ask me a question.
And ID, and your the IT staff should be able to help you. If not, we'll bring a consultant and get that done. Right. Have you been able to calculate or estimate what the savings might be yet?
So I don't want to say numbers like that, because when I do say it, I want to say it with some confidence, but I hear they're really good. I want to tantalize you by telling you there will be a day where, because every county that I have talked to have zeroed out a bunch of money doing this, and we're bigger than they are. So, you know, to me, I don't want to give you a figure. I just want to tell you, I hear it's going to be good.
Are you going to pursue e-signature?
Yeah, that's happening now.
Okay,
yeah.
Because that's... a legal process.
And that's happening now. Sector. And what they did was the state courts got some special rules to allow that to start.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're e-signaturing every complaint now for the first time. That just started.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you guys haven't had a meeting since, this is the first meeting you've had as a committee since that started. We're no longer providing paper copies to the courthouse anymore on a regular basis.
Can your attorneys do this at home? Can they look up stuff at home?
So
they can't do that now. Can they take a file? They can take a file home.
They can.
Not?
Oh yeah, and they all do. Okay. You know,
but
yeah,
if
they all do.
You wanted to see it though, like something came up, and you guys are in court tomorrow.
Yeah,
you might not, right? I mean, this would help you. You could look it online, and you guys could both talk and have the file in front of you. Correct.
Yeah, yes. We're going to have the capacity to both be able to be looking at exactly the same documents. A prosecutor of mine, I was on vacation in Managua, which, by the way, rained for 6 of the 8 days I was up there. I'm happier to be back than I should have been. I was up there, and one of my attorneys who has a trial next Monday gave me a call, and they wanted to talk to me about the case, right?
Right.
And the problem we had with me helping them figure out what to do on the case was I didn't know the details of the police reports. In the scenario we're talking about, in the future, when we're paperless, the two of us will be able to look at the same police reports simultaneously and have that discussion.
Yes, that's got to be tremendous.
Oh, okay. And you, in the insurance industry, you do that every day now.
Every day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is nothing new.
Right.
It's just something new to us.
Yeah. I understand. That's why it's, that's when I saw it, it's just like, you guys look really behind down there.
Yeah.
I understand now. And it sounds like you're doing well.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think we're 2 years away from being fully, you know, in that spot.
That's
and
good.
I'm going to drag these, I'm going to drag my staff kicking and screaming into this. And then, you know how it is, a year later, they're going to wonder, what the heck were we doing?
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works.
Do you think that there could be any problem with, like, forgery? Like, people not wanting to believe it because it's, like, just online, not, like, an actual
There question? Is always, yeah, these are great questions. So, yeah, that is the other piece, of course, because if it's not tangible and on paper, particularly older generations think you could make it all up, right? Now, what I can tell you is that, you know, and of course, every day in the papers we have, it sounds like, you know, people are falsifying stuff and things, right? So what we've been told by the state DAIT people is that we have security that is extraordinary security. Mm-hmm. I can tell you in my years as a prosecutor, I've had people provide me forged documents, like inmates and stuff like that, dozens of times. Mm-hmm. So this already happens. You know, people just use photocopiers, you know,
sure.
and use stationery and all that kind of stuff. I've had that happen dozens of times in my life. So somebody who's a determined forger of something is going to figure out a way.
Yeah. I just mean, like, especially with the e-signatures, like, mm-hmm. is there any way to, like, make sure that that signature will only be used on the thing they know they're signing?
Yeah, so what happens now, we have what I think of as a very complicated process, where if somebody wants me to sign a document, they contact me electronically, then I have to apply for a PIN number that's just for that document. I get a special PIN number for that document. I have to put that PIN number in within a certain amount of time. Then it lets me electronically sign, and then I'm out.
Okay.
So to me, it's a lot of steps, but it's for that exact reason.
Okay.
Whereas before, to be honest, my paralegal sometimes would just electronically sign my signature.
So your goal is 2 years from today.
It is.
Totally.
No, 2 years from today, I'll be in a position where my folks will be in the process of being paperless. So 2 years from today... Next year will be the year I'll be saying we are starting the transition. So I'm not sure if 2 years from today we will be completely there, but we will be well on our way.
Any other questions,
that
comments?
Sounds good to me.
It's quite a process.
Yeah. But it's got to be done. Yeah. You know that. We all know that. It's just something that has to.
It's really fun to see all the space cleared out of that basement. Because it's a tangible thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times when you do things, you don't see the tangible progress. It's kind of fun.
You have enough resources right now for the scanning.
I do.
The file clerk,
I really
right?
do. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's already been budgeted in the prior historical scanning money. IT has always, every time I've made a request to them, including ones I thought they might say no to, they've said I have the money for that, including the staffing. So, yeah, if they ever tell me there's not enough money, I'll come right back because I know it's a priority for the board, you know, and it's a priority for us. So.
Yep. Can I ask just one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Something different? Jensen case, where is that all at? That's always interesting, huh? Where's
yeah.
that at right
now? So far the trial date is still on for, you know, that trial date that is either early November or late October. So there's been rumblings, you know, since I last talked to anybody in this group about it, there's been rumblings a couple times that there might be an adjournment, but all of the time, each time that's kind of petered out. So so I would say if you were asking me to wager, which of course I would not do for purposes of the record because that would be illegal, I'd say it's about probably 50-50 that it'll happen this year. Whereas I probably would have told you when we first talked about this, probably I would have told you 20-80 that it would not happen this year. I think it's about 50-50, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mike. You guys.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Okay, any other business allowed by law?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's none. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Skoliski, seconded by Supervisor Wambo. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Committee?
Right.
Aye.
Okay,
aye.
Thank you.
If
you vote against that, then we're going to have to vote.
Right. Don't worry.
Where are you going?
Yep. Got to go.
Decatur.